Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Andrew McKay joins us. He's Executive Director of the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association, here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Located in the heart of Carson City, the Bank Saloon, a historic watering hole with a modern feel. With a variety of classic cocktails featuring Nevada spirits, space for private events, conferences, and an incredible atmosphere. The Bank Saloon offers a great location to work and play. Come visit us. Located at the corner of 5th and Carson. We'll save you a drink.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
When in Carson City, Nevada Newsmakers records in the conference room at the Bank Saloon. Coverage of the 2021 Nevada legislative session is brought to you by Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you. Ahern Rentals is ready for your next project. Liberty Dental Plan, making members shine one smile at a time. And Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're delighted to welcome back to the program Andrew McKay. He's Executive Director of the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association. Pleasure to have you back on the program, Andy.
Great to see you, Sam. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. Let's start out with this bill that came up with the legislature. I'm not sure where it sits at this moment as we're taping this, but you can share that with us. In terms of wanting to have electronic vehicle sales bypass dealerships and be sold directly to the public in the way that Tesla is, what are your thoughts on that for the association?
Well, with respect to the status of the bill, is, you know, Sam, and I think your viewers know, on Friday, there was the first real major deadline, I would say, with respect to legislative rules, and that is first committee passage. And no action was taken by the Committee on Growth and Infrastructure. Therefore, the bill, AB 114, was lost. So pursuant to rules, right now, that bill in its current jacket, bill assignment number doesn't exist.
All right, so what's the potential? Because we know that bills can get killed or die and then magically come back, you know, at the end of session. What is the pressure, do you believe, to get this back on?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. I'll just be totally honest. As you alluded to, nothing is truly ever dead until, legislative speaking, until they're officially finished. I would argue, because it's such a major piece of public policy and creates a tantamount shift on how autos are retailed in the state, new automobiles, simply amending a bill and assuming it's a minor change, I doubt that would happen. Legislative leadership understands on both sides of the aisle how big of a deal this bill was.
So I mean, because essentially, you know, you'll be looking at 10 or 15 years down the road, potentially a lot of dealerships would be out of business.
Absolutely. And and that was one of one of our arguments. The bill proponents, their goal with the bill is they proffered during the committee hearing and in meetings with legislators, was pretty simple, that this bill would enable additional or new electric vehicles to enter the market and help the state meet its goal to electrify this industry, for lack of a better term. Our argument was simple that it did none of that. And here's why. The existing market is working. When you look in terms of the institutional automobile manufacturers who my members represent in the marketplace, just in the next 3.5 years, you're going to have 130 EV new models that are going to bring to market. They're investing over $250 billion, trillion with a T, $250 billion in R&D. This is a industry that is rapidly evolving. I shouldn't say industry, it's a specific product segment. And consumers in Nevada and across the country are going to have a wide range of vehicle offerings that are going to be available to them. Further, when you look in terms of some of the bill proponents, in the price of the vehicles that will be brought to market by some of these solely EV manufacturers, I would argue they're just, people are priced out of the market on them. They'll never be able to afford them, unless you think $160,000 sedan is affordable.
Let me ask you this. Are we rushing to the future too quickly? Because between, electronic vehicles, my thought is we don't have nearly enough charging stations. I mean, if you look at how many gas stations there are around the state, you know, I don't know if it's in the thousands, but I'm guessing it's probably pretty close. Where do you get the electronic vehicle charging stations that are going to be able to accommodate this rush? I talked with Dove Cannon from NV Energy, and I was saying, you know, are you guys going to take over the mini marts to be able to provide electricity to all these different groups? And the amount of time it takes to charge, and I'm not saying I'm against electronic vehicles, because obviously I'm not, but it just seems that the transition is moving so rapidly in terms of government versus reality, that do you think we're going too fast?
That's a good question. And you hit on, you know, as you bake this cake to moving to a more decarbonized industry, specifically from an automotive standpoint, there are a lot of challenges that exist. You talk about charging time, availability of charging. Is the grid, I don't think NV Energy right now would say if we went to a largely electrified automotive space today, the grid just simply isn't there. However, to their credit, and there are policies that are being considered and pushed at the legislature, as well as across the country from Congress, I think as you start seeing mass adoption of these type of vehicles in 6, 7, 10 years, I think they're going to be able to work through a lot of that. Today, if you just flick the switch, the answer is absolutely no. And I don't think anybody would even attempt to make a representation that our electric infrastructure right now is set up to handle what is projected in the future, but they're planning for it.
Okay, so you've seen the legislation, or at least the discussion of the legislation about getting rid of natural gas in Nevada, which has gotten a lot of different industries just apoplectic, not the least being Southwest Gas, but also NV Energy, because they have gas-fired plants, restaurateurs, construction companies that build homes. Is it next that we're going to get rid of gasoline? I mean, you know, that seems to be the next target.
I think the answer to that is at some point, yes, no doubt about it. With respect to the natural gas legislation, the coalition of businesses, we were part of that coalition that opposed it. That was, I would argue, and everybody else would, that was poor public policy. You may have, the intents and the goals were benevolent, maybe, well-intentioned, but just not practical at all, not in the least bit. the fact of the matter is that that black stuff that we pump out of the ground that ultimately gets refined into gasoline, there's a finite amount of it. It's nobody's going to argue that. And the manufacturers and environmentalists, dealers, general public have recognized this and realized we need to go to an alternative form of transportation at some point in the future. When we ultimately get fully electrified, I'm not even going to fathom a guess. That is decades away from now.
Okay, because that was going to be my next question, which is, you know, that when auto manufacturers make a vehicle, there is a guaranteed lifespan for that vehicle so that you know that it's not, you'll still be able to get parts, etc., for X amount of years beyond your purchase of that vehicle. If you suddenly have a deadline that says, you know, you're not going to have gasoline in 10 years, that, you know, why would you buy a car in 8 years? And then what happens to the classic cars? What happens to the older vehicles? Because this energy industry can't exist on a minor level, correct?
Well, you're 100% correct. You know, a huge part of the American culture is the automobile. I mean, you just go back from the turn of the last century. It's influenced everything from commerce to lifestyle, and that's not going to go away, at least for the foreseeable future. And when you look in terms of how long a vehicle is on the road, you know, General Motors has announced, and it's aspirational, but their goal is to, by 2035, they will only produce electric vehicles, battery-powered electric vehicles, or if they perfect hydrogen fuel cells, which is quite possible at that point, that we're going to see mass adoption of that. But the vehicles, right now, 12 years. So if you just look at the glide path, that if you only look at it from a 12-year product life cycle, you're looking at 2047 at the earliest. And I would argue that probably because of how good of a product the automobile manufacturers produce today, that 12-year average life, the average age of a vehicle on the road is going to be longer than 12 years. It's probably going to be 14 or 15.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with Andy McKay because we're going to talk about computer chips and why that is an issue today after this.
Hey guys, are you watching the game at a friend's or the bar again because you can't watch at home with your wife? Or worse, because she kicked you out and kept your couch, your flat screen, and your kids? What's the one thing a man needs when he loses a good woman? A good lawyer. And when he loses a bad woman, he needs a great lawyer. What makes a good woman a bad woman? You tell me. You're the one that can't watch the game in your own home. I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and I represent men in divorce, custody, and family law matters.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you. But we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Serving Our Kids Foundation's mission is to serve homeless, at-risk, and food insecure children in grades K through 8 throughout Southern Nevada. During the pandemic, Serving Our Kids has seen a 42% increase in the number of children served, providing more than 4,500 meals to kids in over 100 schools weekly. Serving Our Kids is powered by community support and volunteers. To learn how you can help, visit servingourkids.org.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Andrew McKay. He's the executive director of the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association. If you had asked me at the beginning of COVID whether auto sales were going to continue to just go through the roof as they had been, I would have said absolutely not. But in fact, there are lots of reasons, and you and I have discussed them on the program before, of why with leases coming up and cars wearing out that people still needed to buy automobiles. But now there are issues because of the inability to get computer chips that we're seeing some of the major auto manufacturers having some real serious issues with getting new vehicles out. In fact, to the point I was reading just last night, that some companies are making the vehicles without the computer chips and hoping to put them in later when the chips become available. Give us the latest on this, please.
Well, you pretty much summarized it really well, Sam. It's and I don't want to sound hyperbolic at all, but it is scary. The compression on the microchip market across the globe is really, really bad. As your viewers, if they drive by any new car dealership and they'll look at the lot, there's nothing there. The ability to produce and manufacture vehicles is in many respects ground to a halt. They are cutting production shifts, shifting production personnel from certain makes that require a significant number of microprocessor units to ones that don't. I was just reading an article in Automotive News this morning. It was an update on it. The thought process was, and there, it's a menagerie of factors that have caused this compression. The lack of production when COVID initially hit and shutdowns, the retooling and repurposing and focusing of those microprocessors to consumer electronics during the shutdown because everybody was at home buying televisions, PCs, upgrading their Wi-Fi, et cetera, et cetera. But they've said this actually may, it's been talked about through at least the first half of this year. Then you'll start to create a normalization of production. Now they're saying it may even last through the end of this year. And what does that translate in terms of a reduction in the number of vehicles that are produced? Close to 3 million less vehicles are produced globally in about 800,000 in North America. And people say, well, what do chips have to do with building a car? Well, you know, your vehicle is much a rolling a computer as anything. And I mean, to give you an idea, an Audi Q7 has 38 different microcontroller units in the vehicle. And you can build a vehicle with 30 of them, but that doesn't mean it's going to market and it's going to end up on a dealer lot. So what they're doing is producing, be it Ford, General Motors, just to name two that are in the process of doing this, particularly on the truck end. They're manufacturing the trucks. And then once those units come in, the microcontrollers, then they're going to insert them and then bring them to market. But it's creating a major inventory crunch across the country. It's really
all right. All right. So does this mean that the federal government should be encouraging production of these computer chips here in the United States? I mean, we're seeing that with lithium. That's become a national security issue for us to produce lithium. Does it become a national security issue? Does DOD get involved to say, you know, we need to have these computer chips manufactured across this country so that we're not reliant on a factory in Japan that catches on fire?
Does it arrive to a national emergency? Close. The Biden administration had a meeting, I believe it was either Thursday or Friday of last week, with the top brass of the automotive industry, including the Trade Association, the Alliance for Automotive Innovation, to discuss this issue and to come up theoretically with some plan. I think anything will help. If it's encouraging production of these domestically, absolutely, but it isn't something that you just flick the switch, Sam, and it works, as you know. There's significant tooling and ramp up that is necessary in order to make these. And the reason why, which I didn't allude to, they're talking about a year delay is because these companies that manufacture these microchips and microprocessors have to look beyond the automotive space. And they need to start looking in terms of the ramp up and the production period for, and I hate to say this, but Black Friday, that's going to come in November, right at the Thanksgiving holiday, just as one example. Do we need more producers? Absolutely. No doubt about it, because it's happened once. Why it's theoretically can happen again.
Are we going to see the cost of automobiles rising because of this shortage?
Yeah, I think the short answer to that is yes. It's simply there's a supply and demand. Where you're really seeing is not necessarily on the new end, but on the used, because it's creating such a compression on the market on the used end. That's where you're going to see a real price crunch.
All right, let's take one more break and we'll be right back with Andy McKay after this timeout.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash Giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
Located in the heart of Carson City, the Bank Saloon, a historic watering hole with a modern feel. With a variety of classic cocktails, featuring Nevada spirits, space for private events, conferences, and an incredible atmosphere. The Bank Saloon offers a great location to work and play. Come visit us, located at the corner of 5th and Carson. We'll save you a drink.
Hi, I'm Renee Summerauer, digital news anchor here at 7 at 7. Watch our streaming nonstop newscast immediately with your mobile phone. 7 at 7 is the new way for you to get every bit of local news you need in just 7 minutes. Breaking news, local neighborhood news, weather, and sports are just a click away. Reporters bring you all of what's happening in the Valley. From Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, YouTube, and more. Get every bit of local news you need from the RJ and LVRJ.com.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Tamarack Casino is giving away two Mercedes-Benz during the $125,000 Benz or Cash Giveaways. Plus, players get 5x points on video reels every Friday. Win two Mercedes-Benz now through May at Tamarack Casino.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Andrew McKay. He's Executive Director of the Nevada Franchised Auto Dealers Association. At the end of the last segment, we were talking about the cost of used vehicles going up, but I've noticed an interesting trend in, you know, my own circle of people who are trying to sell luxury vehicles like Lamborghinis that were, you know, 10, 15 years old, and others. And they were not getting close to the prices they expected. Is there some differential between the regular used vehicle and the luxury used vehicle that people are not buying at the higher end at this point?
Well, when you talk about Lamborghini, you know, you've got luxury and then I will just say super luxury. And so there's a very finite market on that. I'm actually somewhat surprised to hear that, to be honest, because when you look in terms of just the used market overall, And I would love, luxury vehicles. You know, the 5 Series BMWs, even 3 Series, 4 Series, the Audis, Q5s, Q7s, Mercedes, et cetera, et cetera. If there's inventory that's out there, it's being snapped up in an instant. In just a little anecdote, spoke to a Hyundai dealer who went to the wholesale auction, and the same vehicles that were at the wholesale auction 2 weeks ago were selling for approximately 15% more than the same type of vehicles a month earlier, because there is such a compression with respect to the overall vehicle market. And people are literally buying all over the country. Was a Champion Chevrolet here in Reno on Friday, buying my daughter a new little brand new Chevy Spark. There was a gentleman that was from Denver who flew from Denver to buy a used pickup truck because he couldn't find one anywhere remotely close to where he lived.
Amazing. Well, that's where we have to leave it, sir. Thank you so much for doing this as always. Hope to see you again before the end of session.
Thanks for having me, Sam. Good seeing you.
You too. Take care, and we'll be right back.
Brian Culpa Photography was born in the rolling hills of Massachusetts, and now he can help you experience the stunning beauty of Nevada in a whole new way through the power of flight. Flying has always been a passion for Brian, and at Brian Culpa Photography, he can make your imagination soar. Brian has the creative mind and tools to tell your unique story. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
Safety. We all think about it. You think about it when he buckles in, when you check your mirrors and put away your phone. RTC thinks about safety too. In fact, we create it. Center turn lanes mean fewer blind spots. Bike lanes keep cyclists and you safe. Roundabouts reduce injury collisions. And all these crosswalks are designed to keep families like yours safe. Safety is your priority, and it's ours too. Every day, in everything we do.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers on television, radio, audio and video, podcasts, and YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast coming to you from Carson City. See you then.